This guy is so starless. Baby, this guy is so starless. Baby, you got me growing heartless. So heartless, girl, it's starless. Starless, yeah, yeah, yeah. What's up, what's up? We here again, the Red Light Special, episode number 15. And this one is a special one. What you just heard is what you've been hearing every week, man. It's one of our favorite songs. It's our intro. It's our theme song. It's our superhero music. Jake and Papa Starless, you hear them. We shout them out every week.
Every single week.
Yeah, and then this week we got something special. We definitely got them in the house this week. But before we get to that, want to shout out, first of all, Tangina Stone, who was our guest last week.
Yep.
Yeah, man. When's her, she got another show coming up, right, in Brooklyn?
She's doing the Brooklyn Festival, actually. So I think it's going on all week. She's going to be doing that. She just got back from that D.C. She did the Howard Theater, actually, which is really great. You know, Howard Theater is an awesome place for artists to perform. You know, I've been there before, and it's just so many talented people that go there to perform. And it was a showcase, so they really got to give the stage to a couple of artists that are still coming up in the game, you know. Pretty cool.
That's what's up, man. Yeah. Shout out to Tangina, man. Get her new single, Wasn't Love Cafe, on iTunes. Chris, what's going on? What you did this weekend?
What did I do this weekend? Not much.
Oh, man. Sounds not pretty much. Boring. I hung out all weekend with my homie Nori, N-O-R-E. Mm-hmm. It was his birthday this weekend. So Friday, we was at some club in Queens Club, Medusa. A lot of love, man. And then on Saturday we went out to shout out to Sunny Anderson, over to her spot in Brooklyn, and she had like a little cookout for the homie. Got him an ill cake.
I saw that cake.
Yeah,
nah, that cake looked delicious. I don't even eat cake, but I definitely would have had a piece of that.
Nah, that cake was ill, man. So yeah. Shout out to Nori, man. Happy birthday, bro. And then, you know, that's it. I guess in the news this week, I've been paying attention a little bit, I ain't gonna lie. But I've been on my 3-day vacation thing. I know Mac Wiles dropped something new. The homie Mac Wiles on Saturday night dropped a new joint called Bonnie and Clyde on his SoundCloud. So it's an interesting song. He talks about getting back with an ex who broke his heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Shorty got another man.
There's a certain line, speaking about already having a man, there's a certain line that he says, here we are doing the same thing to him that broke us into.
Right.
Which is kind of crazy because he talks about, you know, his heart being broken because she cheated.
Right.
Obviously. And then here they are cheating on him.
Right.
And it's just shady because he says, you know, if I were him, you know, I wouldn't trust you. So he knows that this girl is no good. But it's like, I feel like it kind of relates to every single relationship that anybody's ever been in. You always, not always, but I feel like most people go back to an ex at some point.
Right.
Or maybe even if you weren't in a relationship and you were, you know, messing around with someone and you guys stopped talking for a while, you always kind of revisit that either once or more than once. But I feel like everybody revisits.
It's different, though, because it just sounds like he knocking it down.
Yeah.
Like they just fucking, like, he not going to go back and be in a relationship with her. Like, he already know what she's about. So she got caught out there. But nah, it's a dope song. It's funny to hear the bro Mac Wiles on his scumbag shit.
But he does it so smoothly. I love it.
Yeah. And then real quick too, want to shout out The Weeknd, man. It's dope every time an R&B artist can top the charts, you know, because there's been a lot of discussion about you know, shout out to Tyrese, like, really pushing the envelope about how R&B music is treated by radio and just the mainstream culture in general. And The Weeknd has the number one album in the country, so 412,000 units, between units and streams that he sold. I think he sold like 325,000 true copies of his album, but altogether like over 400,000 copies between album and stream. So to have an R&B artist like The Weeknd up there on top of the charts is amazing.
I think that is amazing. Also because, you know, every project that he's dropped prior to has been for free. You know, you don't have to pay for it. It was downloadable on SoundCloud and, you know, off his page. And we all know The Weeknd to be now this person who is transforming and progressing in his career. For him to drop an album, an official album, his first album that you can actually purchase, and for it to go to number one,
right,
is, you know, really saying something. So
yeah, well, actually too, it's not his first album. Everybody forgets Kissland because it was so bad.
Yeah, I kind of don't count it.
Yeah. I bought Kissland. I ain't gonna lie, I'm a big Weeknd fan. I was so disappointed by that. But What I'm not disappointed by is our next guest. this week's guest is amazing. I'm just gonna set it up, man.
Plural.
Yeah. This duo has been singing and harmonizing since they were kids. They've been in the game forever. They started on the group Brother, and last year they released the fan favorite Athena's Erotica. And now they're back with their new album, Sexual Warfare. This group is actually the first voice you hear every week that you tune into the Red Light Special, so you already know they're fam. They're talented, and we're just so proud of them. So they're here in New York City. We said we was going to have them up. Please welcome to the show, Jake and Papa, man. What's
yay,
up?
Yay.
What's going on?
Finally.
Yes.
It's about time, right?
Yeah, we've been waiting to do this.
Yeah.
First of all, too, like, you got to understand, if the audio sounds a little bit different, it sounds a little more live, it sounds a little more comfortable. We took this episode out of the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we up here in Spanish Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You know, Jake and Pop got a spot out here on 2nd Ave and 103rd. Like, we in the hood for real right now, man.
We're in the kitchen, actually. We're at the kitchen table drinking some coffee and having some bagels.
You understand me?
Can't even be mad.
Vibes.
So, welcome to New York. Y'all said that y'all wouldn't... Well, what's the situation now? First of all, y'all drove down here.
Yeah, for sure. We definitely wanted to, you know, maximize just... the trip as much as possible. So we stopped in Arizona, we stopped in Ohio, and just we passed Oklahoma City and Pennsylvania, and like we just wanted to just get out here. You feel me? Like the flight is just too quick. We didn't want the trip to be over that fast. So you know, we got hard copies of Sexual Warfare, and we just trying to, you know, get it to everybody.
That's what. So y'all stopped in like different cities.
And we stopping on more when we head back.
That's super dope. That's a real grind. And then
it's a real promo.
Yeah.
Y'all out here in New York. What's good though? Like, we in Spanish Harlem. First of all, y'all said y'all never go back to a hotel in New York again. Y'all just gonna stay in the hood.
Man, shout out to Airbnb, man. I just feel like it's more, we get more of a experience. Like, I had my, before this cup of coffee, I had my early morning coffee like this on the front porch outside, just watching people walk by. And like, usually we always stay like in Manhattan, like over 53rd or something, like just walking, seeing buildings. Like, I never, my perception of New York before, you know, this or the trip before this was like, where are the neighborhoods?
Right.
Like, I never saw no neighborhoods, never saw no houses. So it's like, I don't know, it's just more of an authentic experience this time.
Oh,
I like that.
Yeah, in the hood now. That's and dope. Then obviously, by the time we hear this, we're going to keep it 100. The episode drops on Wednesday.
Sweet.
But y'all have a show at SOBs.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time the people hear this, they will have had a show. It would have been amazing.
Yeah,
we already know this.
We will have burnt it down.
Yes.
Yep.
So y'all are here with BET Music Matters, right?
Yeah.
How'd y'all hook up with that?
Shoot, I think they reached out, right? They reached out? Yeah, they reached out. I guess. Made it happen.
No doubt.
Who set that up? Who's the key person? Omar, shout out to Omar. BET Music Matters, yeah, this is our first one, so hopefully it won't be the last.
Right. Nicki Jeezy says Omar. That's Nicki Jeezy in the background.
Yeah.
Shout out to Nicki. That's the fan from Sway's Universe, Sway in the Morning. That's like, if Sway is like a kind of father figure in all of this, like, definitely big homie. Me and Nicki is like brother and sister.
Hey, that's tight.
You know what I'm saying? We was both raised in this business by Sway. And so she hooks up everything. Every time we need something from Jake and Pop, Nicki hooks it up, and Ace. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to y'all. Y'all got a dope team.
It's the family.
How did that come about with, you know, your relationship with Nicki Jeezy?
Man, we was just friends. Like, same with Ace. Like, me and Ace go back like 10 years. Us and Nick go back like 5 or 6 years. And we was just all just good friends, supported each other and whatever we did. And then at separate times, they both came to me and was just like, I like what y'all doing. I want to be a part of the team. So both times I was looking like, okay, because we was just out here like by ourselves, no management, no nothing. So like, we was really in desperate need of that. So when they asked, we was like, yeah. Whatever you want to do, yeah, let's get it. So yeah, we've been rocking probably like 2 years.
Well, y'all started out because y'all aren't strangers to the business. Y'all started out in the group Brother.
Yeah.
First of all, how many brothers are there? There's five of y'all?
In total, it's 13, 8 boys and 5 girls.
13?
Big family.
That's my favorite number.
Is it?
Why?
My birthday's on the 13th.
September? Wait, 13th of what?
November.
Are you a Scorpio?
Me too.
Yeah, I read that.
Mm.
Well, I didn't read it. I heard it on one of the songs.
Oh, yeah. That is one of the songs.
I'm actually going to read you
Yeah, passage.
Look at this.
Said I'm a Scorpio. I'm on some G shit. I need a little lady I could be a freak with.
So that
stood out to me. You know?
That's exactly what I need. You know. Yeah, that's
for everyone listening. You hear that?
That's a good thing to have in common with somebody.
Yeah. We can leave the room.
Me and Rob is looking at each other.
We're good people. What are you? When's your birthday?
Aquarius. We don't get no love. February 1st. Water sign, I guess.
Aquarius are emotional people.
Really? I've been told that I'm not.
No?
Yeah, like emotionally detached, kind of. We were also like walking dichotomy, so I guess both of them make sense.
Okay.
You know, I can be anything at any moment.
There you go. But so it's 13 of y'all.
Yeah,
13 of us, all over the country.
Wow,
Papa was a Rolling Stone. You know, but the ones, you know, he basically just taught us all music, so we was just all musically inclined starting at a young age.
What did your father do in music? Was he
sang?
He sang.
Yeah, dad sang, grandma sang, great grandma was an opera singer.
Right,
singers everywhere.
So y'all were born for this.
Yes, sir. You know.
So the group brother, it was five out of 13. It was five of y'all, and y'all got signed over to Def Jam. I mean, y'all had like joints for real. Like, you know, I know, I remember I Can't Hear the Music with Fab. There's a cold verse. He had that Foxy Brown line and all of that. She's Gone, Can't Get Enough. Like, y'all really had joints. And it's funny because if you really go on YouTube, like, brother was really popular. Like, there's a couple of those videos is over a million views. Like, y'all was getting some real traction. What happened there? What the transition from brother into like it's just gonna be Jake and Pop?
I just think ultimately it just wasn't meant to be. You know, we get into a good place with our brothers now, but our older brothers was just like they just wasn't trying to do it no more. You feel me? So we just went back to what we knew. We did our first talent show as Jake and Papa, and then it was Jake and Papa before brother formed. So once the group was over, we just went back to what we knew. You know.
That's crazy.
They weren't as passionate as what you mean?
I mean, passion is, you know, subjective, I guess. Right. They're just passionate in different ways. Like, we're more dedicated, really, to this grind and making it happen. And they let other stuff get in the way. Right. So, it was...
Shit, y'all drove all the way from L.A. to New York. Like, that's dedication to the grind, if nothing else. You know, but with y'all seen some things with brother. You know, one of the good things is, right, is, I mean, y'all got to see how the business works, I feel like, right? Y'all got to perform for Michael Jackson. Like, first of all, it's five of y'all. Y'all all brothers. Right, like, right. I don't know if you ever heard of this group called the Jazz. Like, and then to be able to perform for Michael Jackson, what was that like? How did that happen?
That was dope, man. We did a lot of cool stuff, like you said. That was one of them. I think one of my biggest highlights, we got to sing for Stevie Wonder at his house on Christmas Eve. Like,
what?
Just his family. Like, not even on no hired help, like, hired performers, just, like, chilling with the family, and he just asked us to sing a song, like, and kept saying encore. So it was like, we got to do some cool stuff, man. And like you said, I think it did help us for what's going on now, because now we're just independent. So we use, like, stuff that we know from the business to help, you know, kind of fuel what's going on now. So, you know, even though it didn't work out, it's still working out, you know.
Right. Nah, it's definitely working out. And then the new project, Sexual Warfare, like, that's normally two things that don't go together. Like sex and war. But I mean, sometimes it do.
Sometimes,
like,
it do.
How'd you come up with that title?
So, like you said, Athena's Erotica dropped last year. We felt like we created a sound for ourselves within that body of work, which is erotica, you know. And we decided to go with Sexual Warfare because we felt like in that album we embodied everything that goes on in a relationship. That sexual warfare is really the healing of all of it, you know, that warfare in the bedroom. But we talk about the highs, we talk about the lows, we talk about the heartbreak, all that. And especially the erotica, of course.
Right.
So Sexual Warfare, we feel like, is our sound, it's our movement, you know.
Well, let's go back a little bit, because actually the first song, and I'm big on like how you start an album, right? Leave Me, right? I mean, the first line on the album is, I'm gonna fuck you so good tonight.
Exactly. Man, if she deserves it, you gotta give it to her like that. You feel me?
I feel like you guys have a very, like, your music is super sexual, and you guys are not afraid to put that out there, which, you know, there's like no censor whatsoever, no filter at all. But you guys have such an aggressive approach to it. Like, is that something that has always been that way, or do you ever feel like, you know, R&B typically people make love songs and people have like a smooth kind of mellow vibe. That's not, I don't feel like that's Jake and Papa. Jake and Papa, and you guys really, you know, single yourselves out with that kind of sound. But is that something that you plan to keep going with? Or do you ever plan on doing something kind of different?
Oh, man. You know, you saying that lets us know that we're doing something right. Because when we make this music, like, we want it to be straightforward. We want you to understand what we're saying. A lot of people be beating around the bush. Mm-hmm. And we really want to get to the point, you know. So that is something we want to go with, because we feel like sexual warfare is that embodied, you know. We want to make women feel that to the core. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, that's the first line of the whole album. We want to set the tone.
Right.
That's what we're going to do for this whole album. You know,
and even like, even if it's not sexual, you feel me? Like, I feel like just being direct and straightforward is always good. It's just too much beating around the bush, period. So it's like, even like, it's not just I'm gonna fuck you so good tonight to some girl I've never met, you know. Like, you know, I'm talking to somebody that deserves that, you know. Right. So if I feel like, you know, I want to make you feel like a woman, I'm gonna do it and say it in the most direct way possible, because I don't want you feeling insecure, like, is he trying to or is he not trying to? Like, am I a woman in his eyes? Like, ain't gonna be no question when you're messing with Jake and Papa.
That's dope. I mean, nobody likes somebody who don't know what they want anyway, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It reminds me in a lot of ways of R. Kelly. Like, I'm big on, like, how you start albums, like, intros and how you set the tone. And I remember, like, TP2. Like, what's the first thing on TP2 is, hit it hard from the back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's on. Yeah. Look, and I sang again this episode.
So,
it was on keto.
A little bit. They're going to fix that too in post. Watch. It's going to sound
a little
amazing.
Tune on a little reverb, wetting it up.
But, you know, when you talk about that directness and a lot of your music kind of reminds me of R. Kelly. Like, you know what I'm saying? Who might make a song called Just Feeling on Your Booty. And the whole song is about that. Or, you know, Let's Go Half on a Baby. Like, it sounds like that, so okay, it gives me like that feeling.
Thank you, man. Shout out to Kells. He definitely paved the way.
Yeah.
You know, I seen somebody tweet the other day, like, Kells could have ran for president back in the day. Like, I would have voted for him. I don't even vote, but yeah.
Shit,
for sure.
Kells can run for president now. They're going to let Trump run.
Hey, let's get it. Like, exactly.
I'd rather him than Trump.
Exactly.
Kanye about to run.
Exactly.
But speaking of R. Kelly, for both of you, musical preferences and people who inspire you, what are some of the, you know, whether they're old or new, like, who is Jake and Papa listening to?
Man, like, I really feel like, and I don't mean to sound cliche, but like, we really love music. So like, when I was taking a shower earlier, they was playing like Spanish music next door. I didn't understand what they were saying, but right, it felt good, you know. Like,
right,
I don't probably listen to it every day, but it was on and I enjoyed it, you know. We was listening to Travis Scott's new album, you know. Right. I love Donny Hathaway, soul singer. Like, he just, when I was young, when I heard his voice, it just made me feel like I could be somebody one day, you know. And I just, when I heard that, I was just like, I want to make somebody else feel like this one day. So Donny Hathaway is like one of my biggest inspirations ever.
That's love.
Cause,
what about you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm gonna say it basically the same ideas, but mine was always Sam Cooke. Like, Sam Cooke was that for me. I used to, his voice sounded like a clarinet to me, and I always wanted my voice to sound like a clarinet, like a woodwind of some kind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Sam Cooke. I love Alina Baraz. Do you guys know who that is?
I don't know who Alina Baraz is.
Though, you guys are very into blues.
Yeah, I love blues.
Yeah. B.B. King.
Love them all.
I haven't really gotten too much into B.B. King, but I'd like to. Ray Charles. I love Ray Charles.
Yes.
That's dope.
One of these days, and it won't be long, you're gonna look for me and I'll be gone. Like, everything he used to say is just like, damn, bruh.
Drop the mic.
Man.
This is real life he's talking about.
That's another element we want to bring back. It's just like, we go through stuff every day, man. Like, I'm sure you can look back to something that may have happened last week that probably really affected you, but like, we don't really talk about it. You know, all we talk about is really the turn up or making love or, you know, or who did you wrong, whatever. But let's talk about really what's going on. Like, what did you have to do to pay your rent? Like, I know sometimes it gets tricky, you know.
Right.
Sometimes you might have to sell your clothes to pay your rent. Talk about it. You feel
real
me?
Shit.
That's blues, you know. So we try to kind of keep that authenticity and, you know, that transparency in our music.
Right. For real. Well, let's talk about Starless. I mean, yeah, obviously a song that's near exactly and dear blues to us. I want to talk about the real life situations that inspired this, because it's basically, at least to me, and you tell me if I'm wrong, it's a story of a relationship that gets hard to maintain once it's like you're reaching for this stardom, right? And you guys want to be big and want your music to be heard, but once you get there and get on the road there, the sky's so starless because shorty's not there, the one that you thought you was going to be with the whole time.
Yeah.
So first of all, am I close? Am I in the ballpark?
You hit the nail on the head. Like, I'm getting chills right now because you never realize, like, when you're writing music, how clearly it can manifest in somebody. So that means a lot to us. Yeah, that's exactly what it's about.
Okay, so I mean, what's the real life situation that inspired this? Because obviously y'all getting more notoriety, y'all getting bigger and bigger, and how hard is it to maintain relationships?
Yeah, it's difficult, man, because it's like two wars going on at the same time. I remember somebody told us a long time ago that you can't build two towers at one time. So you either have to make a dream happen first, or you have to get in a relationship first. It's like trying to build both of them at the same time. One is going to come up lacking. So I grew up thinking that was the only way to go about it, right? So I did go through a situation, and I'm just trying to build both of them at the same time. One of them gets faulty, and it's like, you know, everything starts happening on one side, and you're progressing. Everything's taking off. We on South Beach. We fanning out Benjis. But it's like, what does it really mean if you don't have anybody to share that with, you know? So the whole idea was like, you know, I'm talking to the girl on the phone, and she asked me, like, how's everything going? Like, how's Hollywood? How's the Hollywood life? And I just break it all down. Like, it really ain't shit, you know, because you're not here.
Because I really just, people are very big on saying that you can't be in a relationship when you're still coming up and, you know, trying to make it, quote unquote, make it. Do you feel like that was just the wrong or bad experience? Or do you feel like you can? Because you also say, you know, who would have known that I'd be living out my dream and you'd be gone?
Mm-hmm.
So do you feel like that could have worked out at some point? Or do you just feel like that the two don't mesh?
They can mesh. It's just, you know, the problem is the, it's two different sides. There's the entertainer and there's the other half. The entertainer is willing to do whatever he has to do for his music, right? If he feels that way about his relationship as well, it should work out pretty easily. But that other half has to be so understanding. They have to, you know, they have to be so respectful of his craft, you know. If you're not, you just fall by the wayside. Like, you can't have a man choose between his dream and you, in a way, you know. So I feel like as soon as you realize that person doesn't really get the business, they're not really going to respect what you're doing, they're not going to understand it, it's just going to dissipate, you know.
That'd be devastating.
Yeah,
it's devastating because you swear it can work out. It can. We see a lot of people do it. We see Miguel doing it right now. He's been with his girl for years, you know. It's beautiful when it happens that way. That's what everybody wants. But for the most part, people just don't understand it like that girl understands it, you know.
Yeah, it's rare. Yeah. I think it's rare.
He also wrote The Dawn for us, so it's like after that, it's like, you gotta stick with me
right now.
I gotta sing this every city I go now.
Right.
It's gonna hurt to sing this song. Right. So was that a real phone conversation with a female that you had?
I mean, you know, it's tricky. It's tricky, you know. It's tricky because, you know, it's based on that, and it's based on, it has another subtle meaning to it as well in regards to the actual business and just Hollywood in general.
Wow.
You know, but that's a whole different story. But yeah, it was inspired by it.
Yeah. Okay. And then my favorite line on the song and probably on the album.
I already know.
With all due respect, fuck your man.
You know? Yeah. On everything. We all feel that way. You know, because we put in all this work together and, you know, it doesn't work out. You just go get with this other person. And I know what you're doing. You know? I know a lot of these people are just rebounds, you know? And you're doing it just because a lot of these girls don't know how to be alone. So we fuck up, you know? I'm sorry.
I cursed.
We fuck up, and you know the situation gets messed up, and you just go and go to this person. But I know it's nothing compared to what we have. I can see it, you know. I can hear it in your voice that you're just doing this to take up time. So fuck that shit, you know.
With you out here playing. Respect, fuck your man.
Straight up.
You go back centuries. Quit playing. You know.
We all felt that way at some point.
Hell yeah, Redman said every nigga after me is just a deja vu. You feel me? If you don't feel like that, then you had no business being with her in the first place.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's funny though because the best part, the part that made me laugh, is the "with all due respect" part. It reminded me of you ever seen Ricky Bobby? Yeah. So I said, he told his boss, he said, with all due respect, man, did somebody cut your balls off or something? He's like, why? He's like, I said, with all due respect. If you say that, it's all good. Yeah,
it's all good then.
That makes it
it's
okay.
A disclaimer.
Right?
Yeah. I'm not trying to hate, you know.
That's dope. Go back and talk about your sound a little bit more, because R&B is an evolving place and it's beautiful. I think we probably have more variety now than ever.
Sure.
You know, a lot of it sounds like turn up music though now. I think that's the style. And though you guys are direct and in your face lyrically, the sound still kind of comes from a more soulful 90s sound. And it sounds like that's on purpose. Like there's not a bunch of auto-tune on it, except when Ace is speaking at the beginning of the album. You know what I'm saying? Like you go for a more soulful sound.
Or Nicki Jeezy's
at the end of Queen.
Queen of the Highway. She has that auto-tune.
Talk about though the conscious decision of what y'all sound like. Y'all really know what y'all sound is. It's not like y'all searching or trying to be something or fit in with something.
Yeah, I mean, I think a huge part of it is just staying true to who we are, you know. The auto-tune thing, it's just not who we are. You feel me? Like I really listen to old music. Like one of my favorite records is "Wish It Would Rain" by Temptations, and David Ruffin is just like blowing his face off. And I always listen to it. Feels like the first time every time, because it's like this dude had to do this whole song in one take. You know, I think we take that for granted nowadays because we can do, you know, punches and, you know, takes and takes whatever. It's just like no, because when you do it live, what is it gonna sound like, you know? So it's like we try to do our best to make it sound as authentic as possible. Sometimes it's not gonna sound perfect, but it's gonna have feeling, and that's what's important, because like feeling, I don't want to be perfect, I just want to be felt and understood, you know?
Right.
So love is messy. Exactly. You know, there's gonna be ups and downs.
It's nothing perfect,
good
man.
And bad.
Exactly.
A lot of breakups and makeups, you know,
like going back to Starless, that situation, like even if him and her don't ever end up together, they both left an impact on each other that's everlasting. You know, that's what it's about.
Right. 187.
Yeah.
That is my favorite record, by
the
way.
Nice. Thank you.
Talk about what is it about that record that stands out to you?
I mean, like I said, you guys have a very aggressive approach. And to me, like, I don't think I've ever heard an R&B singer ever, first of all, even refer to something as a 187, which we all know is a... obviously murder, so it's like but I don't know, 187, that to me is just it's catchy, first of all, the repetition of 187, and it's aggressive, you know. I like it.
Thank you, I appreciate it. I think like what you said, going back to our sound and stuff, like you said we grew up on the West. The gangbang culture is actually, you know, obviously big out there, and it's influential, so it's like stuff like that is gonna have influence on our music just as much as us listening to Donny Hathaway and Ray Charles, you know. So right. 187 is like, that just was natural to us because that's what we grew up hearing, you know. So right. Yeah, I think when you listen to Jake and Papa, it's just gonna feel a bunch of stuff mixed together, but it's all gonna, you know, make sense. Mm-hmm. You know,
where in Cali did are y'all from?
From the 8. Okay. San Fernando Valley.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's it like over there? Is it really rough over there? Is it more laid back?
It's a mix, man. Honestly, we went to a school called Birmingham High School, and it's like some mix. You got your Latinos, you got your Blacks, you got your Armenians. It's like it's a big mix. But you know, there's gangs there. There was rumbles and riots. And then you got your emo kids in the back who play hacky sack, and you got your drama kids. Like, it's a good mix. You feel me? Right. Like, it's not one too much of anything.
Right.
So, yeah, I always say, like, people who grew up over the hill don't understand. Like, they look at you from the valley, they think that you grew up with money. It's like, right. No. You know, we had to sleep on the floor, too, you know?
Right. It was 13 of y'all. Like.
Yeah, it was a group of us. So, yeah, we went through it just like anybody else, man. I think the world is a ghetto, so.
Right.
We go through it just as much as everybody else.
Nah, it's real. And then, you know, with the gang stuff, it's not like anybody anywhere have been like, oh no, that's Jake and Pop. They sing. No. Chill.
Hell
like
no.
If you're around it, you're around it. Like,
I mean, that was the beauty of Birmingham. Everything was so easily accessible. If you wanted to bang, both of us almost on the set. You know, I was like a day away from getting put on the set, you feel me?
Right.
But if you didn't want to, if you wanted to go pursue something else, there was a lot of other things to pursue too. Right. There was a lot of opportunity there, but you know, the path was really just in your hands. You took your life by the horns, you know.
Yeah. What prevented you from going that route?
Literally, the homies was. That's crazy that you asked that. I was
I remember telling you too. Don't do that.
I mean, I like to scrap, and all the best fighters in the school was from Westside. You know, whatever. You know, so. I felt like that was the right thing to do. So, you know, I looked up to all the dudes who was doing it. So I was like, whatever, you know, I'm going to do it. What do I got to do? Just fight four people. You know, I'm with that. So I went home that night. He was like, you know, we're going to do it at this time. Tomorrow we're going to get it in, blah, blah, blah. And I went home and our mom used to have to do this ritual every night where she put Neosporin and lotion and Band-Aids on her hands and then wrapped them in gloves because she would do hair until her fingers bled.
Wow.
You know, she would, still to this day, she's working too hard, but she was doing that. I walked past her doing that, and I'm like, yo, she's doing this every day for me, and I'm finna go get put on the set. If she found out that I was, like, gangbanging, she would be heartbroken. So I went to school the next day, like, yo, I can't do that shit, bro, you know?
That's dope. Yeah. Nah, that's a dope story, man. Like, and to have that presence of mind,
yeah,
you know, for your mom. So your mom still works.
Yeah, man, you know, the goal is to get her off her feet. Right, yeah. Now, she, you know, she, we get our grind from her. That's the only reason we grind like this, because we've literally watched her work her fingers to the bone, literally, mm-hmm. you know, for what she loves and for the people she loves. So she's probably working right now, you know.
Wow. Straight up.
We going to get off.
We be trying to tell her, like, man, just wait a little longer. She's like, boy, I ain't waiting on you.
Well, you know what?
I'm going to work
raising
regardless.
13 kids, I mean, you don't know anything else. You
right.
Know?
Well, she only had four, right. But, you know.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah, they said they probably was wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She had a tough job still.
Yeah.
Yeah, nah, four is a lot. Yeah, it's going to be dope because I really see y'all on y'all way in which y'all grind. First of all, the music, y'all talent speaks for itself. But sometimes talent's not enough. Like, mm-hmm. you know, when your talent and your grind match up, like, it's a real recipe for success. So it's going to be a beautiful thing.
Love.
You Dang, know, when man. You be able to go back to moms and be like, you know what?
Right.
Sit you down. Put your feet up now.
Yeah, when we just had our show at Las Palmas, Big Boy came out. Much love to Big Boy, man. He came out and he was talking to me because our mom was there. He saw her in the front row, and he was like, the best feeling I ever had in my life was when I got to buy my mom a house. Right. He was like, you're going to feel that soon. And when he said that, that gave me chills, because that's what we're doing this for, you know, to get our mom off her feet, you know. So I can't wait for that.
Right. That's beautiful. Yeah. I just like... sunk in right now.
Man. It's dope. Yeah, man. I still don't think my mom knows what I do, really.
Word?
Yeah. She knows, but like we used to be on Raphics Live. I was on TV every week, and my mom was like, boy, you know I don't watch that. I was like, damn.
It's so humbling,
like,
huh?
Yeah, yeah. Super humble. Yeah. Boy, you know, well,
nobody will humble you like your parents. For you real? Know, like, they don't really... they're never satisfied. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's your... When that's your kid, it's like, until they... prove themselves to you, it's always... you're still gonna treat them the same. So I know even Rob has all these stories, you know, his mom never really like showed the excitement that somebody else would show, like a friend would show, you know what I mean, because you know, until you really really like show and prove, they're always gonna treat you like, you know, their kid.
I tell the story one time me and my sister was on T.I. and Tiny show. Mm-hmm. Like a minute. We just happened to be eating at a restaurant in Atlanta, and they came and filmed me. My sister's on the show for like a second. And I happened to be watching, flipping through the channels, and I saw it. So I called my sister. Yo, you on TV? Check it out. Mm-hmm. My mom's got mad. She said, why you ain't call me and tell me she was on TV? I was like, well, it literally was like 2 seconds. I can only call one person. I figured, let me call my sister. Well, I would have loved to see my daughter on TV. I was like, well, I'm on TV every week. I got a show to wrap this live. She's like, you know I don't watch that.
Oh, man,
y'all felt this big. But it's cool. It just means we got to work hard. That's really why I went the R&B route with the Red Light Special. Now, that's something to get my mother to be proud of. Like, my mom's a super in R&B. Like, I get all my music taste from her and the stuff that she used to play. So, you know, hopefully she's listening. Or maybe not. Maybe she don't listen to this episode.
Man.
She'd be like, why are you shouting me out?
Shout out to moms.
Yeah. But back to y'all. Sexual warfare. Another interesting joint, and which I appreciate because you don't get this a lot anymore. It goes back to y'all talent. Cherry Stem Acapella.
Hey.
You know, kind of reminded me of like you know, things that Shy used to do, or like, you know, used to go down and really get like a real acapella from some brothers that could sing.
Yeah.
What inspired this? Did you really see a chick like try a cherry stem with a tongue? That's what I want to know. I'm like, where is she at and who does this?
Yo, on everything. Yeah. Like, so look, this is this is the thing. Like, I like Shirley Temples, right?
Right.
This is hella random, but I'm a big fan. You know, Shirley Temples are flight, right?
Shirley Temples are great.
Shirley Temples are flight with extra cherries, you know? So, yeah. I always get extra cherries. And, you know, I was with this girl. I was like, you know, you want one? It's very honest. It's a very earnest song. And she did it. So it's like, if you do that in front of a man, these are the honest thoughts he's going to have.
Right.
I just wanted to put it into perspective. And, you know, we love acapella.
Yeah.
We were really good at putting an acapella on every project. We kind of didn't get to do it on Athena's Erotica, but we wanted to make sure to do it on this one because that's where we come from.
Yeah.
So, you know, Cherry Stem, it just came about so naturally. It started off with just a lead. You know, and before I knew it, we had like, it's probably like 20 parts on there. It's like, if you mute the lead, you would hear us. It's like an instrumental, you know, and it just happened organically because it's just what we do, man. We love acapella.
That's dope. Like, and it sets y'all apart because you don't see many groups, many singers doing that anymore, or like really going down that avenue. I didn't want to say it. I was just really setting it up for you.
Pressure's on.
That was the Chris Paul law.
It's all good, yeah, man. I'll say it for you.
No, that means a lot, though, to show love to that, because we love acapellas, man. We have fun with those.
That's dope.
And shout out to the girls who get tired of cherry stems.
I know.
That means a lot to us. You know, that shows a lot of character.
I've never seen this in my life. I've heard about it.
Oh, man.
But I've never seen this in my life.
Yeah, it happens.
We done seen some shit, Rob.
I'm learning this.
Some of the stuff that we be talking about, people would be like, where y'all get that from? Like, we really done seen some shit. Like, of course, we be inspired by, you know, regular everyday stuff. And like, Ace could be going through something and tell me something. I'd be like, ah, that's a song. But for the most part, up until now, shit, we've been talking about just stuff that we really didn't been through, you know?
That's funny. See, I just assumed. Yeah. I was like, ah, oh, there's a little poetic license there, maybe, or something like that. He said, nah, she really tied the cherry stem.
She tied it. And it's like, you know, what are you supposed to think?
Right.
You know?
That's dope. And you guys write all your stuff. Do you write for anybody else?
We do, yeah.
We actually wrote for... this artist, she's like a Vine star. Her name is Leanne V. Like, okay. She put out like a lot of music over the past year. We wrote in, like, a significant amount of it. But yeah, we write all the time. You know, whether it be features on rapper stuff, or you know, somebody need a verse or a hook, whatever. That's what we do. So yeah, for sure, yeah. We're gonna get more and more into it. Cool. Trying to write for Katy Perry one day.
Hey. Yeah, and then the false features that y'all have on this album, y'all have Dub on this album.
Yeah, that's our bro, man.
Yeah.
Like, blood will make us no closer.
Right.
Like, it's really somebody we rock with from, like, the dirt.
That's dope. He's super dope. Casey Veggies is on
the joint. Casey
Veggies. Yeah, love to Casey, man.
How'd that happen?
Yo, just real individuals, man. Like, people like Casey, Dub, and Audio Push, it just happens so naturally. We did 187, you know, knocked out the verses, and we felt like we needed a rapper with that movement, like with that
swig.
Yeah, that you know, that delivery. And the first person who came to mind was Casey. So we, you know, hit him up through Dundada. Shout out to Dundada. And it just linked so fast. We went to the studio at his crib and just knocked it out. Like, we were just chilling. It was like we were just like boys just hanging out. But a verse came out of it, you know. Those are the best situations. A lot of people be funny out here.
Yeah. You know? The unplanned ones. Is there anybody that you want to work with that you haven't worked with yet?
Yeah,
a lot of people, man. Kendrick Lamar is like, I feel like I listen to that To Pimp a Butterfly and I just be like, bruh, he just gets it. Like, he gets it. I feel like, you know, everybody does the Tupac comparisons. You know, I get it, but it's just, the thing is, like, no one really cares to connect with the people as much as Tupac did. And that's why, right, I feel like that comparison is so deserving. And, like, I would love to work with him one day, for sure.
Right.
Tori Kelly. I know you're going to say that.
Yeah, I love Tori Kelly. I love Lana Del Rey, too.
Ooh-wee.
Oh, yeah. Lana's my favorite.
Mm-hmm. She's so dope.
I can't wait for Honeymoon. Honeymoon's going
to
be good.
She's dope as
fuck. Yo, her movement is flawless. Flawless.
Yeah.
I can get with that
absolutely
all day. Yeah.
I wasn't really up on Lana like that.
For real?
But Chris.
Oh, man.
Talks about Lana Del Rey all the time.
I love her.
Movement is crazy. Yeah, she survived.
She's very cinematic. That's what I love about her. Yeah. You know, you hear her music and she could say two words on a record and you're like in La La Land. And I'm like, what did I just do for the past 3 minutes? I have no idea. But yeah. I just, like, I get zoned in when I hear her music. Yeah. And that's what I love about you guys, too. You know, I hear your music and it takes me places. Like, it brings me back to a memory or, you know, a past encounter. It just, it's storytelling, you know? Mm. It's a very visual kind of approach. I love that.
Thank you for acknowledging that, because we definitely take that seriously. Spend some time writing, trying to, like, not just settle for the lyric that's in our head, look a bit, you know, to, you know, fish for the right word so that the story ties in.
With all due respect, fuck you, man.
Exactly.
You gotta paint that picture.
Fuck
him, man. You know?
And then, too, on a couple of times on this album, y'all got Karina Prejean on this album. Yeah. I remember her because she used to have the single "The 16 at War."
Yeah,
and I thought that was dope. I was like, "Man, who is this chick?"
Yeah, that's family. We were signed to the same label under the same dude at the same time.
Shakir Stewart, rest in peace.
Right, much love to Shake. He knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. You know,
what was y'all relationship with Shakir like? Because he passed away shortly after signing y'all. Right, it wasn't too long after.
Yeah, he was like a big brother to us, man.
Like a year after he signed us, he passed away. But it was a big bro, man. Just used to be like, he called me P instead of Pop because I guess he didn't feel comfortable with that.
Right.
What's up, P? Right. What y'all doing out here, man? What they talking about? I always looked up to Shake because it's like, first of all, we didn't have a lot of men in our lives growing up, so we didn't really have no men. Like, I looked at Shake like he just seemed like a real nigga. Mm-hmm. He was fly, but he took care of his business. And I was like, damn, that nigga got it. Mm-hmm. That's why I didn't understand. Like, when that happened, I was like, why? Mm-hmm. You know, he had everything. Mm-hmm. You know, you never know.
It's funny because, I mean, this business, it gets dirty. Mm-hmm. And everybody got some dirt under their fingernails. Shakir is one of those dudes that you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody who has anything negative or bad to say about him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Did y'all believe what happened? I know a lot of people didn't believe the story that he took his own life, and people thought it was something deeper. What was y'all belief?
I mean, it's hard to believe, you know, because he was just such, like he said, he was, you know, that jubilant figure, always talking, always in the studio, always working. So it's hard to believe, but the truth is, it's always hard to believe. Right. You never know that somebody's going through the things that they're going through. You know, even with Robin Williams, you never would consider somebody that bright to be mentally in such a dark place. You never know.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, it's hard to believe, but, you know, much love to Shake. He taught us a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. It was truly a blessing for his time here.
Dope. Nah, that's dope. Rest in peace, Shakir Stewart.
Sucks when the good ones go.
Yeah, man.
It's crazy.
But Chris got something that she wants y'all to rock with. We do this every episode.
I mean, so considering you guys have such good insight and songs about relationships, we do a little something on the show where the listeners email us relationship issues, and I kind of want to get your take. I have a really cool one this week. We're gonna do a little something different. Somebody sent us an email, and this is what they said. Hey guys, I love the podcast. Your relationship segments really opened my eyes to what I would want in my potential relationship one day. I broke up with my girl after 4 years, and I did it for the right reasons. She cheated on me, and she didn't want to fight for our relationship. We're both 25, and this was her first real relationship, so I can't blame her. I learned more about her and myself during the relationship, and Boys to Men, End of the Road is helping me get over it. You hear that, Rob? Boys to Men. With a little bit of Kanye West, 808 and Heartbreak.
Okay.
Also, my question is, what are good R&B getting over heartbreak songs that I can listen to and get over it? Thank you.
You know, that's a good question, because, like, to me, End of the Road isn't gonna help you get over it, but I guess it's working for him, because End of the Road is basically coming to the realization that this shit is over. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
But off top, I thought of, like, Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison. You feel me?
Yo,
classic song.
Once again.
I kind of feel like that song, that's an amazing song, because I don't know nobody who doesn't like that song. Like, it's impossible to hate Return of the Mac.
You know what? Because it's so fun. But if you really think about what he's saying, he's saying what dude just went through. What's the dude's name? email?
We keep it anonymous.
Okay. Yeah. But he just went through, like, that's what, you know, like, return to the Mac. Like, I'm back to, you know, get jiggy on fucking all that. You feel me? Right. Like,
it is a confidence boost.
Yeah. Yeah. Boyz II Men also has another song called Doing Just Fine that I feel like is definitely, like, you get to that point where, you know, you're listening to all the Sade and you're listening to all the, you know, the slow music and you crying and you sitting there eating soup and with a cover and then you like, man, yeah, something me? Right. You feel me? So Doing Just Fine, I feel, is like you, that mental space. Like, you know what? Nah, I'm good. You got to start telling yourself you're good before you are actually good, you know? Right. For sure. You got another
Jake,
one?
You got one?
Yeah, I was going to say Doing Just Fine, you know? Sorry. Getting along very well. I used to love that song and I wasn't even going through heartbreak. It was just flight. You know, you're doing just fine, bro.
You know what's crazy is I really love listening to slow songs, like slow heartbreak or melancholy, or, you know, songs like, I like listening to it and it making me feel like I'm going through something even if I'm not. Right. You know?
Yeah.
That's right. Why I like, well, a lot of times, like, we talk about, like, we grew up on certain kind of rap that was just like made us feel like, damn, we really in the struggle. Like Styles P and DMX and G-Dep.
G-Dep.
What?
We was just talking about G-Dep. Come on, bro. Like,
G-Dep was my hero,
what was
bro.
What's that line about have a cigarette for lunch?
Just got a cigarette for breakfast just for beginning. Pride for my lunch and sleep for dinner.
Ooh, yeah. Nigga, what? That was before we really understood, but like we really had that afterwards and we could listen back to that line like that nigga understood.
G-Dep, you know, is so, you know, slapped on.
Dog, free. He G-Dep was my dog. At one point, G-Dep and Shine were like tied for my hero.
Wow, yeah, real for real, man.
On everything, that first Shine album. Yeah, that's when he came back, I was so confused because it's like when you're a Shine fan, it's like, what's going on?
It was hard. Like Shine is grew up a couple of blocks from where I grew up in Flatbush, and I didn't know him growing up. We just knew a lot of the same people in the neighborhood. And when he was locked up, I wanted to go visit him a couple of times, and we formed a bond like that.
Wow!
So we still stay in contact to this day. But definitely, that first album was like,
come on, Doc.
It was hard.
The rawest albums ever, man.
It was hard for him not to find his footing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But 10 years is a long time to be away.
Right, right.
You know?
Very true. Yeah, man.
Chris, you got a song that helps you get through?
I mean, I haven't been in that position in a while, so.
Oh, she good.
It's
she
hard. I mean, I like Ciara makes a lot of music. You know, she goes through some shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I like her song, I Bet.
Okay.
She says, I love you, but I won't be a fool for you. That one I like.
Nice.
But definitely, I wouldn't be listening to Boyz II Men. I mean, you might just cry a river listening to Boyz II Men. So.
This is what we
I mean, I know we all have to cry sometimes. Maybe you could listen to that, I mean, and then get into something a little more jiggier, but, you know.
See, I'm going to have to go. Look, I got one for you, bro. You going to throw in that Usher? You don't have to call.
Hey, come on. Why didn't I think of that? Hey, you got to do the choreography and everything, though, in the car. You got to do all that.
You got to do all of that. But, not the Boyz II Men. And the running joke on this show is, I don't know, the first episode we ever did was we had the debate, Boyz II Men versus Jodeci.
Uh-huh.
And we had the homie Mac Wiles up. And
shout out debated. To Mac, man.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he listened to Boyz II Men, but, bro, your girl cheated on you. She was probably listening to Jodeci while she was doing it. I'm just saying. Once again, Jodeci wins.
Wait, who do y'all like better? Like, who do you prefer?
Yeah, it's impossible. Like,
yeah, you can't. I don't think you could compare the two. It was like, you know, it's like, you know, mainstream pop success to like basically just the underground
raw gutter. Yeah, you feel me? Because we were raised on both of them almost so equally. It's, I don't know. It's like trying to choose between.
I've been trying to win this battle against Rob, so
it's hard. That's really hard.
Because
really
it's like some days I want to put on a suit, and some days I want to put on a hoodie and some Chucks. You feel me?
It.
So it's like
walk
you gotta have
machete.
Both.
Yeah. With the Timbos, like Rob says.
Yeah.
Look, we're gonna put y'all onto a secret for the audience out there. We was trolling y'all with that first episode. There is no right or wrong answer. Yeah. You can't go wrong either way. We needed to create a buzz for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we came up with a troll. That's all that was.
But it comes back in every episode. I love that. You know, it's definitely man, people get crazy.
Yeah, it's a hard one. That's as hard as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
For real.
I love to Mac, man. We was like in some of our first sessions with him. Like when we, you know. He's a genuine dude.
Yeah, he showed y'all. I remember that episode. It was our first episode ever, and nobody knew what we was doing. That's the homie. Like, that's my bro.
That's
so, you know, I knew. I was like, man, who can I just call where it could just be organic and somebody's just going to rock with you and have faith? So we called Mac, and he definitely came through and showed love. And when we shouted y'all out, because remember, y'all had the intro song, so we shouted y'all out first episode, and he was like, Jake and Pop.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, that's, you know, the homie right there.
He got real excited, it's man. So man. And yeah. It was genuine, man.
That's what's up, man. There's not a lot of those out here.
Right.
It's dope.
So what's next for y'all? First of all, this is an amazing episode.
I'm so happy you guys are here.
I feel like it's been
a long time coming, even though it's only been a couple months, you know? Yeah.
It's a long time. A couple months is a long time.
We've been waiting to get out here, man, because first of all, we're honored. Honored to be, you know, interviewed by y'all. Just sitting here talking, like, you know, at a kitchen table in Harlem. Like, this is something I'll never forget, you know? Off top, but yeah, it's beautiful. But what's next? Sorry.
Yeah, what's next? I know y'all just dropped the new album, so
yeah,
I'm not what's next until I hate when like they be like, yo, when's the new project coming out, man? I just dropped right. 3 weeks ago. Like, what are you talking about? What's next? What's the build up for this project going?
Yeah, so
like?
I mean, we just promo. You know, Sexual Warfare is for the people. That's why it's free. Our Lost Palmas show is free. BET Music Matters show is free. We just want trying to get people as much good music as possible. So we hitting every nook and cranny, trying to make sure people hear Sexual Warfare, because we really, really need this right now. You know, police is killing us. It's a war outside. Bloods and Crips, police and the civilians. If we was all making, you know, inside making a little bit more love, we'd be all right. So maybe if they have Sexual Warfare in their hands, it might save a life, hopefully. So, you know, we got to get to them.
And make one, too.
And make exactly. one, too. Yeah, that's
make
good.
Life. So, we're driving back from New York on Wednesday morning. We'll be in different cities. We're going to take the southern route back. So, you know, just stay locked to our Instagram to figure out what's next. You know, Vegas will be there in October. Trying to get to Atlanta at the end of October. So, just a lot. Just trying to be everywhere. It's the Family Imperial. It's completely independent. So, anywhere we go, it's just... it's on our pockets.
That's crazy. I love that you guys are doing that. Does it get hard ever between you two? Like, I've been wanting to ask you guys that. You know, the whole, you guys grew up in a group, and usually they tend not to work out, just like, you know, we've spoken about girl groups, and we had Naturi here who was on 3LW, and she talked about why they fell out. And between you guys, you know, do your guys ever clash? Like, is there ever any conflict between you two?
That's the thing, man, is we're good.
Yeah.
The hard part was the other extremities that are now, you know, gone. You cut the fat, you know? Because like you said, like on everything, I don't mean to sound ruthless, but our first talent show was when I was 4 and he was 5. We started together, you know? Right. And that's pretty much all we knew. So it's never been any problems. They're like minor things, like minor regular brother problems, you know, but it's really nothing. The big ego problems, you know, that go on with groups, we did see that firsthand with other people, you know, but luckily we don't have to go through that anymore, you know.
What's the age difference between y'all, between Jake and Pops?
20 months apart.
Okay. Yeah. So y'all close. Were y'all the closest in age, like in the group of the five of y'all, were y'all the closest?
Yeah.
Low key. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Nah, that's dope. Then that make a lot of sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, we grew up under the same rules and guidelines. Our mom was like, she ruled with an iron fist. It's like what she said goes. So it's like we both grew up with the same exact mentality, you know? We're just opposites.
Right.
I would have thought you guys were like fraternal twins.
We heard that.
Yeah.
We heard that before.
We get that, yeah.
Like, so, I come definitely confuse you guys in pictures at times. I'm like, wait, who's
so? We try to make a...
try to diversify. Jake has a big-ass owl on his neck.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah. And he always wears the fedora hat.
Yeah.
Nah. I like the fedora hat.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We got to bring out some JP hats next time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Nah, we'll definitely rap. You let us know whatever we need to do to wave the flag. Because, again, like, I tell people all the time, before we had a show... we had a theme song. So we had y'all support. Like, y'all supported us when there was no reason to. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that goes
a, but it was a reason to, though, man. You show love, real, we got to show love back. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Thank you, man.
Yeah. But that goes a long way. So you'll always have a home wherever I'm at.
Love.
Wherever Chris is at. Any projects, anything y'all need to promote, anything y'all want to talk about to get off your chest, you know, we going to make it happen.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
Know?
It's love.
All right. So let's talk about where they can find y'all on Instagram, on Twitter, where they can get the album on SoundCloud.
Any social platform, we kept it real simple. It's just Jake and Papa. You know, SoundCloud, of course, for the project. SoundCloud.com/Jake and Papa. JakeAndPapa. And that goes for Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all of that.
That's dope. So go and support. Look, they gave it to y'all for free, so they don't even want y'all money.
Nah.
You don't even gotta buy it.
They just want y'all clicks. So make sure y'all play that. Tell a friend and tell a friend.
Yep.
Chris, where can they get you at?
Chris Lover. That's on pretty much everything: Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. That's KrisLovaa.
That's what's up. And I'm Rob Markman. You know, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, everywhere. And you know, you can check me out during the week on genius.com. That's the new home.
Yeah.
New spot.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Gotta annotate some Jake and Papa lyrics.
Yeah, I'm definitely going. Yeah, Nikki Jeezy hit me up. She was like, okay, so now that you're at Genius, how can we get Jake and Papa?
She's on it.
Oh, she is on it. And 100% we're going to get that. We're going to annotate some lyrics.
Lyrics are going to be more on point now that you're here.
Yeah, we gotta get y'all on the site too and work something out. But the first, you know, the first lyric, I'm gonna annotate this with all due respect. It. Fuck your man.
Hey, let's get it. That's hey, fuck him, man.
Turn up.
That's gonna be what it
I
is.
I want you man. To annotate Cherish Them a cappella, please.
Oh yeah,
thank
let's
you.
Get it.
We'll do that. Yeah. We'll do that as well.
I'll send that over.
You know? Thanks in advance.
Hey, that's love.
That's what it is. But yeah, for real, man, check them out on Twitter and on Instagram. They're gonna be going through a city near you. This cross country trip, like. Your favorite group don't do that. You know what I'm saying? This is the grind for real. But Jake and Papa, Sexual Warfare, go get it.
Yeah.
And you've been listening to the Red Light Special. It's been a special episode from Spanish Harlem.
Yeah.
One of a kind. We're never going to do this again. This is only going to be Jake and Papa. We'll never come time. To Spanish Harlem again to record unless it's with Jake and Papa. You know what I mean? With our West Side homies. But until next week, man, enjoy. And we're going to take you out with Jake and Pop, Starless. Peace. That's the motherfucking truth.